love and her biscuits and government cheese. My daddy taught me to love my fellow man. Said the song is wilder than we can comprehend. Yeah, the song is wilder than we can comprehend. Oh, love is a wild song. Oh, love is a wild song. It's a father shoveling coal. It's a mother making a home. Oh, love is a wild song. And it keeps playing on and on. Song. I was a boy, I picked up on this wild tune. And I followed the sound till it led me to the truth. There was something they tried to tone it down. The song, it rises up when the rocks cry out. Oh, 'cause love is a wild song. Oh, love is a wild song. It's a wolf howling at the moon. It's the flowers in full bloom. On a cross, and when the earth shook, the veil was torn. Separation would be no more. And still today, the song plays on and on and on and on and on.
Thank you. All right. How was the Sloppy Joes? We made them extra sloppy for you. Anybody? Huh? Okay.
Upon Mount of God's redeeming love. I hold by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. Thank you. Well, yeah, I missed you guys last week. Good to be back here. You didn't have to applaud, but I appreciate it. I was kind of holding out for it, but I always like to be that person that claps first, you know, and everybody slowly follows. I didn't. I haven't had new strings on in a while. It's a good feeling, isn't it? Well, I'm going to do one more before Keith comes up today. I have a tap on my shoulder. Hello. Okay. Let me talk to you about that here in a minute. So, we believe that Jesus is always about the work of restoration, right? And sometimes that takes him unearthing things that perhaps we don't want to see or we don't want to confront. But that's all part of it. So our prayer today is that we would submit. We would submit to the authority of Jesus. We would allow him to begin his work or continue his work in our hearts. And we would declare that his way is better than ours, right? So Jesus, we just come today with open arms and open hands, admitting that we can't do things on our own. Admitting that we are in need. That we are broken. And we require your rescue in us. Amen. Descend upon me like a rolling stone, like a black swan raging on for all that I know. You know it unnerves me when I lose control and all out of options, and I'm out of my head. Then I build my life around someone who I thought that I was, but it turns out all the things I do to feel young, they only make me old. But you raise me like a baby, like a fire phoenix bird. Oh, and you lift me up like Lazarus. You love me like like a vein of gold, fires that lava, flowers from the fold. You cast me uncursed, unearth my body and my soul, fire from my ashes, fire from my coals. And I build my life around someone who I thought that I was, but it turns out all the things I do to feel young, they only make me old. But you raise me like a baby, like a fire phoenix bird. Oh, and you lift me up like Lazarus. You love me like death. You love me like death. I could thrive, but it turns out all the things I do to survive, they only make me old. But you raise me like a baby, like a fiery phoenix bird. Oh, and you lift me up like Lazarus. You love me like hello. How is everybody? One person is fine. How is everybody else? All right. Good, good. Man, I have been excited about being here this morning. I always am. Jesse said it. We were in prison in Texas last weekend sharing the same message of hope with inmates. And we believe that it is possible to, with our God, how about this, for an inmate that is locked up
to experience freedom. That's how good our God is. May not be the freedom they're wanting just right now, but that day is coming too, we trust, and pray that when they exit those walls that they found the true freedom that they're needing. That's why we do that. But man, I know Jesse and I both, last Sunday, being in Texas about 12 hours away, we said, man, we miss being with our people at the church at Southside. And so I know you guys were in great hands. Heard Charlie did an amazing job last week, knew he would. And man, excited to follow up. The real reason that I'm super excited, other than just being back in Birmingham and being here this week with my family, I love it when God takes me off script. And what I mean by that is, honestly, I'd planned to just go back in the Psalms like we have been. And then I read a devotion this week that it wasn't just cute. It wasn't just well written. It wasn't something that I even just felt like, man, you need to put that on social media or send to your friends. It honestly was one of these things that just stuck with me in my soul. Have you ever read something like that where it just, man, it won't leave you alone? Anybody ever done that? You've read a Bible verse, you've read a devotional story, you've read something, and it is just stuck to you, and you can't shake what God has spoken through it. And so that has been this week. It was from a man by the name of John Eldridge, and the devotion was Restoration Year, and it has just stuck with me, and I believe it did so for two reasons. I believe the first reason is I needed to hear it, right? Any good teaching, any good thing that comes from somebody that's teaching is most of the time something they've digested themselves and said, you know what, I'm not there, I need to work on this, or God wants me to see this, and then we share it from a personal experience of this is what God is doing in my heart right now. And so I believe that, first off, I needed to hear it, and then second, I believe that in some way you needed to hear it this morning as well. We needed to hear it together. And so before I read this passage, I want to kind of set up, because I'm just jumping into one of the Gospels, but I want to set up what happens right before the encounter that we're going to read about. We're going to read three short verses today in Matthew chapter 8, but I want to set up what's happened because it's so important to know the context of the story, okay? So we're here right in the book of Matthew, right in the heart of the Gospels. And I want you to know, I've said this before, I think I say it every time I mention the Sermon on the Mount, this is the greatest message ever preached by the greatest teacher that has ever taught, the greatest preacher that has ever preached. It is by Jesus himself. If you're not familiar, there are three chapters, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, that is one message, one discourse, if you will, from Jesus himself. He has these great crowds following him, and he takes them to the mountainside. I say most the north side shore of the Sea of Galilee, up on this mountain. And I want you to listen and understand that this is what Jesus has just gotten out of his mouth. Okay? In Matthew 5, in Matthew 6, and in Matthew 7, Jesus has mentioned, just to name a few, something like this. The Beatitudes. Anybody remember the Beatitudes? Blessed are you when you mourn. It's not how people view that, right? Blessed are you when you are persecuted, right? And so he mentioned these things, and immediately the people are listening and they're saying, you're going to tell me I'm blessed when I have to mourn, right? For I will be comforted. You're going to tell me blessed when I'm persecuted? So Jesus is already kind of flipping the script here, and then he goes directly from that and he brings it down in Matthew 5 to telling his followers, you are the salt and light of the earth. By the way, listen to me back there, even in the back, he doesn't say that you might be, that you could be. He says, you are the salt and light of this earth if you follow me. See, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. Then he goes from talking about the salt and light to saying, you have heard it said, but I tell you, he does this a number of times, and taking it to an extreme of something like this of, you have heard it said to not commit adultery, but I tell you, if you've looked at a woman lustfully or a man lustfully, then you've already committed adultery. You have heard it said that you shall not commit murder, but I tell you, if you have anger in your heart, you've already committed murder. See, Jesus again is digging at the heart of the issue. It's not about the act of what we do or what we say, but it is the heart of us. And then he goes directly from that to listen to this. We gloss over this. If I was to ask you to say the Lord's Prayer right now, you would immediately start, "Our Father who art in heaven," right? You know it. But what we don't understand is the groundbreaking truth that Jesus comes to right here after the salt and light, after the Beatitudes, after the "I tell you this, you've heard it said, but I tell you." Then he drops some groundbreaking truth. If Jesus would have said in that moment, "My Father who art in heaven," no one would have said a thing. It would have been, "Well, it is your Father. You're Jesus, right?" But he says, "Our Father." He drops on the crowd that you have the ability to enter into the presence of Almighty God by saying, "My Father, our Father, Abba, Father, Dad," right? Now, let me remind you, this is just through chapter 5 here, just a little bit of going into chapter 6, and this is one message, and Jesus has already just dropped all these truths over this crowd. God in the flesh teaching, and then he goes on and he teaches them. He says, by the way, you can't store up treasure on earth. You've got to send it on ahead where moth and rust don't destroy. Right? The treasure principle. He teaches that and then goes into no one can serve two masters. You've got to make a choice. He continues with, listen to this one. By the way, and just in case you've escaped all of those, I doubt you have, but he goes a little Bobby McFerrin on here. Don't worry. Be happy. Right? Don't be anxious about anything. Don't you stress on tomorrow. Anybody stressing or worrying about tomorrow? Hello. Right? He's talking to us. Don't worry. Don't worry about your life. And then a sermon in itself about judging others with the speck in their eye but a log in yours. Again, remember, this is one message, one sermon that Jesus is delivering. He goes from the speck and the log to ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Then he teaches the golden rule. Whatever you want done to you, do that to someone else. Listen to me this morning. Some of us bickering in line this morning. How you want to be treated, treat somebody else. Right? The golden rule. Then he tells them to enter by the narrow gate. And he tells them, by the way, few will go this way. Wide is the gate to destruction. Then he tells the crowd, not every one of you who professes to know me knows me. It's more than about religion. It's relationship. And then he says, build your house on the rock. Guys, all in one single solitary message. Wow. I mean, can you imagine being there that day? And in fact, if you want to know how the crowd reacted, all of these things Jesus teaches in one setting, it says this at the end of Matthew chapter 7, before we go into today's passage. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. You think? I mean, the greatest message ever preached. Jesus took the religious crowd and flipped them on their heels and told them that it was about relationship. One writer says this about the Sermon on the Mount. Even among non-Christians, there is a general consensus that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is the greatest moral discourse ever given. Three chapters of amazing truths. One that even non-believers can get behind and say, you know what, that golden rule, I don't believe in Jesus, but I believe that's a good way to live your life. Right? Even non-believers would say one of the greatest moral teachings ever given. I love how God works because the placement of today's passage is no coincidence. And it happens as Jesus teaches the message of his life and flips the crowd on their heels. And in fact, our passage today begins immediately following this, starting like this in verse 8, when he came down from the mountain. So I want you to know all of that about the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to know that there was this crowd going crazy at a fever pitch, Jesus walking down off of the mountain. And it says in chapter 8, as he was walking down off the mountain. So do you have that pictured in your mind? All of this multitude of followers sitting around and Jesus laying out these amazing truths, truths that had never been really even thought about before. And people are still digesting this and Jesus is walking down the mountain. The crowds are following, astonished, but they haven't seen anything yet. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you want to see the tenderness and compassion of how Jesus wants to greet you, it can be found in these three verses this morning. I want to tell you about the leper. If you've never seen the compassion of Jesus, there is no greater place, I believe, to look in Scripture when Jesus encounters a leper. I want to tell you a little bit about what a leper is. In Jesus' day, they were considered unclean. So much so that when they would enter a crowd of people, when they would walk down the street, they had to lose their dignity to the point by law, not by suggestion, not by courtesy, but by law, had to yell, "I'm coming, unclean, unclean." And people would avoid them at all cost. They would duck the other street, go the extra mile to walk away from where the infected were walking. The unclean, the unjust, the unright. And they would say, "I want nothing to do with these people. I'm going to skirt around town because they're yelling unclean." The leper was society's lowest of low. No one associated with them. And this wasn't just physically. They looked at it as if it was a spiritual curse put on them by God because of their sin or shortcoming. They were the outcasts of society. People didn't just look the other way. They walked at a fast pace or ran. "I don't want to be infected by the unclean." Guys, you've got to get this morning. The leper was the lowest of the low. No one associated with them. They lived by themselves. Even their family and friends had disowned them. The church had disowned them. They were sent to live in a community by themselves. No one wanted anything to do with them. Here's a thought on leprosy. It says this: for many centuries, leprosy was considered a curse by God. Often associated with sin, it did not kill, but neither did it seem to ever end. Listen to this. A disease that was eating someone from the inside. It never ended. There was never any relief, but the physical pain was just a minor symptom. They were outcasts left to live and die alone. No one cared. Instead, it lingered for years, causing the tissues to degenerate and deform the body. It said many had thought leprosy to be a disease of the skin, but it's better classified as a disease of the nervous system because leprosy, the bacteria, attacked the nerves from the inside. These people were living with this horrible disease, but that wasn't where it stopped. No one would even come near them. Not to issue a word. Dare not touch them. Not a handshake. Not a hug. Not an offer. "Can I help you? Can I bandage your wounds? Can I sit with you a while? Can I talk?" No one except other lepers. And what they did was sit outside in a community and they talked with one another. "No one wants anything to do with me. No one will talk to me." They run the other way. Can you imagine the shame? Can you imagine the frustration? But along comes my Jesus. The encounter is breathtaking. When you understand what Jesus is about to be encountered with, the Son of God, God in the flesh, God Himself, with all the crowd looking on, is about to be encountered. But my friend, listen to me back there in the back. Much more so than Jesus' encounter with a leper, you can see your encounter with Him today. If He was here today, this is the encounter that He wants to have with you. Matthew 8, 1 and 2, it says, "When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him." Listen to me, Jesus was not by himself. This was not a private show for one person. There were thousands of people that were watching. Remember, astonished at what they had just heard, of saying, "This guy doesn't teach like the scribes. Maybe he's the one. Maybe he's the Messiah that's going to set everything right," right? "He's going to destroy the Romans. He's going to set everything right. He is the one I will put my life on. He is the one I will follow. He is the one. As they're saying all these things, I can still hear the chanting in the crowd. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Guys, there is so much at play right here that I could talk about this for weeks. But I want you to listen. I want you to think about this from the perspective of a leper. Did he brave the crowds to walk through and get to Jesus? The lowest of the low, the ones that, can you imagine the crowds that were still chanting about Jesus, still talking amongst themselves? Can you believe what we just heard? Can you imagine that he is the Messiah? Is this guy the one? And then yet through the crowd, listen, I even imagine this. Was he yelling unclean? Was he yelling and people were so worked up at a frenzy that they didn't hear? Or did he skip the formality altogether and just say, I've got to get to this guy. I know something is different about this guy. If I can get to him, and Lord, if you will, you could make me clean. You could heal everything. Listen, some of you this morning need to just simply admit, if he wanted to, God, if you want to, you could take whatever from me. You could take this addiction I've been carrying. You could take this shame I've been carrying. You could take this wound I've been dealt. You could take my affliction. And Jesus, only Jesus, if you wanted to, you could clean me up. Some of you need to brave the crowd this morning and forget all of the drama, forget all of the formality, forget looking like a fool and going straight through the crowd and saying, Jesus, if you just heal me, if you just heal me, then everything else doesn't matter. Some of you are embarrassed to look like a fool. I want to tell you, I don't care what you think about me this morning. I don't care if I break out in sobbing tears in a few moments. I probably will. I don't care. You see, I've broken through the crowd and I've let Jesus heal me. Still a work in progress. There's still things that raises up. But I want you to know there's no shame in looking like a fool. There's so much here. But this guy bets it all on Jesus and he kneels before him and listen to what he says. The leper came to him and knelt before him saying, Lord. I want to tell you this morning, I don't know what your needs are, but I know a great place to start is to kneel and say, Lord. Just simply with that one word of offering the ownership that you have of your life and saying, it is no longer mine, but I am kneeling and leaving it at your feet. If you will, Jesus, you can make me clean. I want you to listen to this encounter from the Message. It's a paraphrase, but I love the translation. Jesus came down from the mountain, listen to this, with the cheers of the crowd still ringing in his ears. There was no delay. Jesus coming down from the mountain, the cheers still ringing in his ear. Then a leper appeared and went to his knees before Jesus and said, Master, Lord, if you want to, you can heal my body. I got a massive spoiler alert for you this morning. Not only did he want to heal the leper, but I believe he wants to heal you this morning. Here's where it gets good, y'all. Jesus could have healed this man any way he wanted to. In fact, I thought about Scripture and I thought about a few times where Jesus would just simply speak and rebuke whatever was going on. Whether it's an evil spirit or a physical affliction, he would speak and say, be gone. And it was gone, right? I remember that there were times that he would offer what may seem like a prescription of saying, go dip in a river 7 times and you'll be clean. Remember that one? I remember one time him even taking spit and mixing it in the dirt and making mud and putting it on somebody and saying, just do this. Or he would, you know, maybe say even just this, by you even coming to me, your faith has made you well. But y'all, listen to me. I want you to listen to the goodness of Jesus this morning. This is where I'm telling you, there's no shame in looking like a fool this morning. Listen to what Jesus does. And it says in verse 3, and Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Listen to me this morning. By law, right then, by law, Jesus was considered unclean because he had touched an unclean man. Can you imagine the crowd that had just been astonished, that had been cheering, is this the one? Is this the one? And this leper comes up, the dreg of society, and he kneels down before him and says, Lord, if you would just heal me, I know I would be healed. And Jesus doesn't say, you're right, you're healed. And the leprosy is gone, and he touches him, and it's a beautiful moment. And everybody says, oh, he's healed, he's clean. He reached down and touched the unclean man and said, yes, I want to. I want to heal you. Listen to me this morning. Can you imagine that this leper from years, guys, of no interaction with human people from the outside world, the one that had to shout the embarrassment of, I'm unclean, unclean, and people would run. He was isolated, abandoned, probably not touched by anyone in years. Jesus, if you would, I could be healed. Jesus touched the untouchable. I want you to listen to the message again from verse 3. It says, Jesus reached out and touched him, saying, I want to be clean. Then and there, all signs of the leprosy was gone. Here's the good news of this story this morning, is Jesus met the man's needs right where he was. Maybe you need a touch this morning. Maybe it's simply that. You need the touch of the Master's hand. Maybe you need a word spoken over you. Maybe you need a handshake or a hug, or maybe it was a warm meal that Jesus used already this morning. Here is what I know. When we look through Scripture and Jesus encounters somebody, the goal is always to heal. But he does it in different ways. He reaches to the real need of what we have and he speaks directly to it. Can you imagine the man that had not been touched in years standing there with the chance of Jesus being the Messiah? Jesus, we're astonished at your teaching. No one's ever taught like this. Could you be the one we've been waiting on? And Jesus, in the midst of all the crowd, reaches down and touches an unclean man and says, I want to. It was as if no one else existed in that crowd that day except the man that needed to be touched. Can I ask boldly this morning, who here needs to be healed this morning? Maybe it's that touch from God. Maybe it's the word that needs to be spoken. Maybe it's just simply kneeling down and starting with that word and saying, Lord, if you would, I would need you. Lord, I need you. I need you to heal me. I need you to take over. I need you to be my Lord. I want to challenge you with this thought, and I want to do so with your head bowed and your eyes closed. I want you to think for a moment and put yourself in the leper's shoes. Maybe you can't relate fully, but maybe the idea of going to Jesus and saying, I've tried everything else. Jesus, would you heal me? I believe this with all my heart. In fact, it's why I would even go to a prison like we did last week, to tell inmates the same thing. The message never changes. The audience may change, but the message never changes. I believe that healing is available to anyone here. I want you to picture this, that if Jesus were here today and you knelt and said, Lord Jesus, I need you to heal me of this. I believe his response would be, I want to be clean. Will you pray with me this morning? I read in that same devotional this quote, and I've got to share it. As you enter into a spirit of prayer, I want you to think of it in this terms. If you're saying, maybe that's good for the leper, but not for me, John Eldridge said it this way. He wants to release a redemptive landslide in your life. Picture a landslide. Falling down of healing, of redemption. He wants to shower you with redemption this morning. So Jesus, we picture you kneeling with us, beside us as we kneel, arms around us, and us saying, Jesus, if you just wanted to, I could be healed. in whatever way we're in need of healing this morning, Jesus, we believe your answer would be, my son, my daughter, I want to be clean. Jesus, we thank you for that. We love you. We thank you that even when society maybe looks at us as untouchable or unredeemable, that your love is not only offering redemption, but a landslide of it. That is the good news of the gospel. That is the good news of the gospel that cannot be found in any amount of religion or prescription or the list of I gotta do this or I've gotta do that. It can only be found by the healing touch, word, comfort, grace, mercy, compassion of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, all of us could say this morning, if we're willing to maybe even look foolish this morning, to say, Jesus, the only way is I need you to heal me. I say that in areas of my own life. There are things in my life right now that are so much bigger than me that I cannot take them on my own. I cannot handle it without your healing. Jesus, I need your healing. Would you heal me? Will you help me trust you that your answer to me and answer to my brothers and sisters is my son, my daughter, I want to go be clean. Jesus, you are good. We love you. You are the head of this church. You're the reason we do this thing. A warm meal is offered as a small token of you saying to others, I want to heal you. I want to. Will you accept it? Man, what a story. The untouchable is touched and told in front of a crowd. Just can you imagine the leper leaving that day healed and having been touched by the King of Kings? I can tell you this, we don't have the rest of the story, but I know we will one day. That leper was never the same. Man. May that be our story. May you do some healing out here. That, Father, we leave this place and we make a difference on this world, telling others that story of our healing and offering that same healing to others. That's why this body exists. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your healing in our lives. We thank you for the healing you've done today and the continued healing you continue to work in our lives. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.